Hey, we had didn't the rest of the worship team sound really good? We had some new to us faces on the stage this morning, and they just kicked right in and felt like they're at home. So it was great. Good job, guys. All right, let's pray for the offering. God, we just thank you, Father, for all the provisions that you have given us as a church family, God, and as individuals. God, we just pray that we glorify you and everything that we do with that. God, that God, our offerings would be pleasing and acceptable. God, that we would be offering it up out of a place of just pure enjoyment to give back what is yours, God. God, that we, as we do that this morning, God, just bless it. And we know and trust you to do so. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right. I had a sheet somewhere, but I don't know where it went. Here we go. Oh, if you're online this morning, you can give online TLC. Where's it at? TLC number 4. There it is, TLC number 4, me.cc. I think I'm getting older because, like, I can't find anything, and I'm not used to putting my arm out a little bit further where it, like, shows up better. So forgive me for that. I'm in a transitional phase in life. We're getting really close to, what do you call that, midlife crisis? Just kidding. So, if you want to give online, it's www.tlc. The number 4, me.cc. And now, I think Ben Barger's got an announcement this morning. You're such a fine-looking man. Isn't he a good-looking guy? Yeah.
So Johnny's going to stay up here. This month is Pastor Appreciation Month. So today I get to talk about this guy, which I can tell you he does not like. I took a little bit different approach, and I decided to ask my family, if they were standing up here, what they would say about Johnny, each one of them. So I'm going to read you their responses. I didn't make any of this up. I did not lead them in any certain direction. I just asked, if you were talking about Johnny to someone else, what would you say? So here it is. Maya said, I know if I needed to talk to someone in a difficult situation, Johnny would always point me to the Lord and to his word. I'm going to go Jeff Swan on you guys here. He would go like this, though. He would hold his hand up like, hold on a second. Eden said, Johnny is so gifted and talented, but so humble. He truly wants to make sure that God gets the glory. He would do anything to help anyone. That was Eden. Brooklyn, who is our source of humor in the home, okay? She said this seriously, but in her funny little voice. She said, well, Johnny is basically like a second dad. That was Brooklyn. Lincoln said, and before I say this, I wanted to like put scripture with like each one of these things, and I the missionary wouldn't have time to talk today, so I can't do that. But these are all biblical attributes that when we surrender our life to Christ, this is what comes out. Amen? Lincoln said, he always seems joyful. Brianna says, he makes everyone feel welcome and shows he is interested and that he cares. So just really quick, if you're here and you have surrendered your heart to Christ, you'll know that one of the things that happens supernaturally is that God causes you to be a reward to someone. And all throughout Scripture, from Genesis on, we see that. We know when God calls someone and his potential is activated in your life, you're going to supernaturally do and say things and have an effect on a single person or a community or an entire nation. And that potential is within his hands, right? So when we surrender, we don't know what the results are, but they far exceed what your uncle tells you, right? Or what even your mom and dad might think your potential is. So I just am so thankful that Johnny is a reward to this community. And I'll lump his family in with that. And so he's a reward to my family, my children. He's a reward to the youth in this community. He's a reward to this body of believers. I'm convinced, and he wouldn't want me to say this either, but I'm convinced when we're all in heaven and the hosts of angels are singing around the throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," Johnny will be leading that song. I think he'll be right out front because God will say, like, "Bring that voice to the front." Right? I believe that. And that's not to, like, blow his head up. He doesn't want that. But I'm just saying, like, God has gifted this guy with a heart that is like, I don't know anyone like it. So I'll close with this. I've had the opportunity to fly fish in some of the most beautiful, spectacular places on the planet. One of which is high in the Sierra Nevadas. It's called Evolution Valley, if you can believe that. We should change the name, like Creation Valley, right? But in these places, I always find myself like, and I'm sure you've done it too. You look around out here and you go, wow, like, look what God's created. Look at, like, the works of his hands. And so today I've said all of this about Johnny, and I could look at him and say the same thing. Wow, look what God has created. But I'm going to turn it right back and give the glory to God and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this man and his family. So let's pray for Johnny. Let's pray for him today. Everyone's going to laugh because I do this in my home. We always stand up and get in a circle to pray. So stand with me and stretch your hands towards Johnny today. And we're going to give glory to the Lord because he's created all things. And lastly, I'll just say, if you know the song, "Make Me an instrument of worship, I lift up my hands in your name," God has made this guy to be an instrument of worship. So let's thank him for that today. Lord, we just thank you for Johnny. We thank you for his family. We thank you that you've set his feet firmly and planted him in your word, in your truth. And God, your purpose is written all over his life. I pray that as you've called him into certain positions, into certain tasks that you've asked him to do, Lord, I know there are areas where he doesn't even feel equipped. God, you supernaturally give him the tools, the blessing, the provision that he needs to proceed forth in doing your will. We bless him today. We thank you for him, and we give you all the glory for all that you've done through him and for blessing us with him. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if I've ever had anybody say so many nice things. That's good. We're going to release our children for children's church, so ages 3 through 5th grade, you guys can go on out, and then parents, make sure you sign them in, and don't forget to sign them out as well immediately after service so that our teachers can go out and mingle as well after service, so make sure you're signing them out quickly and not leaving them there until after you go eat lunch and then come back. All right, next up, we have Taylor and Micah Yursik, who are here. They're going to be our speakers this morning, and I've got the privilege of meeting them. They came to our youth group about, I think it was 2 years ago now, and I don't see them. Are they here? Where are you guys at? Oh, there you are, Taylor. Okay. I was like, man, I'm going to introduce somebody. Nobody's going to show up. Okay. Anyway, they came into our youth group a couple years ago, and sat down, and we were talking about the voice of God, and we were talking about how to hear the voice of God, and it was just an amazing experience for our youth group, and it was very peaceful. It was a peaceful experience to be able to venture out a little bit further than what they were used to in listening to God, but also making sure that we are listening to God and nothing else, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, it was a great experience. So my heart goes out to these guys as they come. Taylor, you want to come on forward? As they go and they do their missions, and they're going to talk, or Taylor's going to talk to you this morning. And yeah, so just give them a hand.
Thank you, brother. Yes. Man, that is a long walk. But you're a good time filler for my walk, so I don't feel all awkward, everybody staring at me. Is there a little podium right here somewhere? This one? Oh man, we're scrambling. There it is. Awesome. Well, yeah, you know what? I'm glad I got to see you because I was looking for you this week and I didn't, I was remembering that and I'm like, who was that? And then the beard, as soon as I saw, man, that is an awesome beard, I'll tell you. I don't think my wife would let me do it though. And I'm growing my hair out right now so I can kind of fit in with my Amazon jungle people. And she won't let me have a long beard and long hair. It's got to be one or the other. So I think this is close to being trimmed down. So I'm going to rock it as long as I can. All right. So before I even introduce us, I got a little joke that I thought was appropriate. I like to sometimes start with just a cheesy little joke. Okay, so bear with me here. Martin arrived at Sunday school late. Miss Walter, his teacher, knew that Martin was usually very punctual. So she asked him if anything was wrong. Martin replied, no, that he had been going fishing with his dad, and his dad told him that he needed to go to church. Miss Walter was very impressed and asked the lad, if his dad explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing. And Martin replied, yeah, he did. Dad said he didn't have enough bait for the both of us. Hey, we got some chuckles there. Okay, nice. We're off to a good start here. Just want to make sure you guys are engaged, okay? So I'm going to do a presentation for you guys, and my wife's actually going to preach. She's a phenomenal preacher. She's my favorite. I love her to death. She's in the back with our little baby girl. She's running wild. So I'm Taylor, my wife, Micah. If you call me Micah, her Taylor, it's all good. We're very used to that. I think we'll just change it up legally at this point. But we don't take no offense. And we are missionaries with the Pentecostal Church of God. And we also have our own nonprofit that the Lord has given us a name for, and it was Magenta Ministries. A lot of people ask, why magenta, you know, like the color? And the main reason was it's a marking. We just felt like, you know, God was saying it's a marking ministry. It's something that, you know, if you're wearing a magenta t-shirt, you know, in the mall, and you say, look for the person in the magenta t-shirt, that person is going to be very easy to find, right? So that God kind of gave us that, and we have a new addition, our little girl, Lainey. She's turning 2 on the 27th. So it's closing in. We're actually going to be on the road to Arkansas right after service. So we're running a little wild. If you want to go to the next slide, I like to kind of start. I feel like the Lord has been doing this, wanting me to do this recently. And I think it's my testimony has been a something that I really haven't shared very publicly. And God's been telling me that I need to share it more. And it's very brief, very summarized. But I think the reason is because I remember I got saved at 22. I became a Christian at 22. And I remember sitting in church services and being that person who was just showing up and seeing the person talking with the microphone on stage and thinking, well, they got it all figured out. Like, they've probably known the Lord their entire life. You know, like, all I just never could see myself, you know, ever being, you know, in that very new save, like at that level of knowing God to be able to hold a mic, you know. So I'd say that to say this for those that maybe are in here. You're looking at a very imperfect individual who has made a lot of mistakes. And by the grace of God, I'm able to sit up here today and present, you know, what he has done through just our simple obedience. I was actually in high school. I started dabbling in drugs. Right out of high school, I had a very kind of a rough family atmosphere. And that led me into joining a 1% motorcycle club. For those that don't know, they're the guys that wear the diamond on their patch that says 1%, and that means they're the 1% of the population that abides by nobody's rules except their own, and they stick to that. I won't name the organization just for obvious reasons, but you know, God was showing me, I look back and I think, man, in the midst of my drug addiction, in the midst of that lifestyle, you know, it's God, he was constantly in pursuit of my heart. And I even think, like, in the darkest of places, he was reaching out to me when I wasn't even looking for him. I remember one time this is very transparent. I've never shared this story, but I'll be transparent, whatever. I was on some mushrooms, and I remember that the Lord, I just closed my eyes, and I was just really out of it. And then all of a sudden, I saw a vision of a cross, and in that cross were just, like, thousands of faces. And in one of those faces within that cross was my face. And that was one of the very first times where I had, like, I would say an encounter with the Lord to where he scared me. And it was like, oh my gosh. And I started pondering this heaven and hell deal in this situation. And even in the midst of the motorcycle club, I think one of the turning points was the brothers were out at a bar one night. They bumped shoulders with Sir 13, which is a Mexican, you know, cartel club, not club, but a gang. And all of a sudden, that turned into, why don't you come meet us at our clubhouse? And I was sleeping at the clubhouse. I get woken up at 3 a.m. to get your AR, get your pistol. You know, everybody show, you know, we got into it with Sir 13. They're on their way. I'm thinking, what did you guys get us into? Like, what do you mean? Why? And I'm trying to get, everybody's scrambling. I got motorcycles showing up at 3 a.m., you know, pulling in, and they're loading their guns up on the counters, and it's about to go down. There's like 40 of them. And I'm sitting here thinking, is this where I want to be? I'm here with a bunch of other guys loading up our guns, and we're gonna shoot at some other people because they bump shoulders in a bar. And you know, I was 19 years old, and I just started realizing, I'm like, I don't know, man. And I was not fully patched in. Thankfully, it would have been a lot more difficult to get out, but I was probate, which means, like, I was one patch away. And I had a sit-down meeting, and I said, guys, I got to reevaluate this. I was like, I love y'all, but before I fully commit, I got to make sure I could fully commit first. And they sent me out with love, and I still talk to the guys to this day, and hopefully I minister to them. And but that's who you're looking at. You're looking at a guy who's made a lot of mistakes, very imperfect. But by the grace of God, I'm up here today to share with, you know, just what simply just being obedient does. There's so much power in obedience. Okay, when my wife and I first got married, we were very young. Well, I was 21, she was 19, and we got married, and we were at church camp, actually, as counselors. I was a welder. My wife, she knew she was always called to be a missionary. I didn't. I was still, we got married, I think I was like 4 months saved. She was a pastor's kid. And so she knew all about this. I was still just trying to get my bearings. And she's talking about missions. And I remember at that church camp, I'm thinking, what? Like missions? Like it was something that I always knew was inside me. I just didn't know that I could do that for the Lord. And so here I am, you know, I'm kind of fishing in this. And then one night at church camp, we just were so in the presence of God. And I have to say, the worship guys, oh my goodness. Very phenomenal, phenomenal job. Like the presence of God was so strong. But anyways, but we were just in the presence and we were just breaking down, crying on our faces. And God was just telling us, you know, like lay down our lives. And you think of that, it's like, that's a very big thing to tell somebody, right? Like the Lord's telling us, lay down your life. It's like the immediate reaction is like, okay, to go to the mission field, I'm sacrificing the stability of I'm a welder. I'm sacrificing that stability. And, you know, man, okay, God, like, what does it look like? There's all these thoughts coming in. And then reverse back to the foundation of the kingdom. I feel like if the kingdom is our foundation, no matter what we may build in our own thoughts or ideas, if it crumbles, we still have the foundation to fall back on. As long as the kingdom is our foundation. I hope that makes a little sense. But and God was just giving me that revelation right now. But it's our mindset when we're focused on the kingdom, sacrificing a job and money and et cetera, that's not sacrifice. Because what are we focused on? The kingdom. What is the kingdom? Souls. Is souls more important or is security in the world more important? And God was just slamming us with this and we were getting this revelation early on and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we always have to stay kingdom focused. And I'm just saying that to encourage you guys. It's no matter what, if our foundation is the kingdom, when the bills are late, when things are not looking good, you know, because we've still been there, our lives are not perfect. But if we fall back onto the kingdom and we can say, God, what are you trying to teach me within this? Is there a test I'm trying to pass? And so when we've adapted the kingdom mindset, you know, we are able to read this verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you have the kingdom mindset, going is almost immediate. It's like I got the revelation. Now I have to go. And trust me, when we answered that call, there are enough people that were coming to us telling us what we were sacrificing, what we were going to miss out on. They should have said the things that was going to happen to Micah going to a third world country. And it's just like people speaking negativity. And we're like, oh man, come, you know, thankfully we had her mom in our corner and she was just saying, you guys are called to this. Block out the haters and just go. And sure enough, we did. But you can go ahead and go to the next verse, actually. I mean, to the next slide. Yep. So when we first answered the call, we were ready to sell everything. It was like, as I said, it was immediate. We knew we were called to be missionaries. It was immediate action at that point. We were going to go home, sell all of our stuff, and go to Africa. We have some very dear friends that are missionaries to Africa and have been for a very long time. And that was like the obvious place. And so we were going to sell all of our stuff and go. And God actually said, no, you're not. You're called to overseas, but right now I'm going to place you in a high school. I'm going to place you in high school campuses. And we're like, well, we're called overseas. He said, just trust me. So we did. And we're, you know, us as Americans, we're thinking, well, man, there's so many lost and unreached and you know, in these other countries. Why does God want us in the United States? We said that until we went to our first high school campus. We walked the campus and we saw kids that had never heard of Jesus Christ. Some thought Jesus Christ was Santa Claus. It was absolutely ridiculous that we're talking in the United States of America that kids have never heard of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, they maybe saw him on Family Guy, but they had no idea who he actually was, that he was actually a real person. And so we saw this and we're like, oh man. So what we started doing was we started going into these high school campuses, training the Christian students that were already on there. So it'd be like the youth group here that go to the high school. We would train them to be missionaries to their own campus. And through that, we saw 13,000, this is in 18 events, 13,400 people heard the gospel, 3,200 first-time decisions, and 100 plus Christian students that had been trained up in evangelism. And so while we were doing this, we were experiencing really open heaven. And it was amazing. We had one student who, he was a football player, and he actually fractured his leg, and he was in a cast, and he had like 4 more weeks to go. And some of the Christian club members, and we were all about praying over people and praying healing, and some of the Christian students actually prayed healing over his leg, and he cut the cast off right there on school campus, went back to playing football, and the testimony was everybody was going up to him saying, "Man, I thought you had your cast off for like 4 more weeks. He said, "These Christians prayed for me and it's better." That is the power of God. And the power of God, you know, can move if we allow ourselves to be used. Amen. So you can go ahead and go to the next slide. So that's something we're actually still currently doing. God has not told us to release that even though we're overseas. So where am I? Sinning sinner, yes. So as I was saying, you know, when we were talking about answering the call to missionaries, be missionaries, there's a lot of negativity. So we felt like, you know, one of the, actually the first dreams that I had that I didn't even know was a prophetic dream. You know, who knows that dreams are a language of heaven, amen? We believe and we get direction from dreams. Dreams are very high held in our, in the ministry. So basically, when I first had my first dream from the Lord, I was standing in front of thousands of people that were dressed in military gear, and I knew they were missionaries, and I was like screaming, like that kind of type of screaming where your voice is cracking and pitching and going crazy, but you just can't stop. It's just going out, and I was basically telling them, like, suck it up. It's time to rock. Like, we got to get this enemy. We got to go. There's no time to think about anything else. And I'm just like pouring everything out. And then I wake up, and then I knew that God was telling us we have to start sending. There are people that are sitting in this pew, in these, you know, this church right now, that are actually called to be missionaries. And I want you to know that we are here for you. That's not very common, I'm going to say, and it's unfortunate, but we want you, and I put the steps up here. If you've ever had a desire for missions, we had one, and age is not a factor. We had one woman that answered the call to missions last year at 45 years old. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's amazing. So we have right now, you can enroll at magentaministries.org. You fill out an application. Then depending on the season and what class times start, we have one in June this year. You will go to Texas together. We'll do training at PCG headquarters. And then what we go on is called a special ops missions trip. The reason special ops is we very strongly believe in team ministry. Anywhere we go to set new ground, we always have intercessors that go before us in prayer. We actually take certain intercessors with us that as we're going, they're praying. We believe in the fivefold. So I say that to say, if there is a missionary who has a call in this room, do not hesitate to come up and talk to us, and we will be with you every step of the way to make sure that you are answering the call that God has on your life. Okay, you can go ahead and go to the next slide. This is the fun stuff. This is the stuff that everybody probably introduced us as Peruvian missionaries. So yes, we are actually working with unreached tribes in the Amazon rainforest. While we were there, God, we went on a 2-week exploration trip. The first, I would say, 13 days, we didn't know why in the heck we were there. Nothing was, no trumpet sounding. It was just like, oh my gosh, this city is dirty, and wow, like it's the biggest city in the world that's only accessible by boat or by airplane. There's no roads. And so we're like, God, you're calling us here. Like, show us something. You know, we had the itinerary planned from day, you know, to hour to minute. And we're like, we're going to make the most of this. The very last day was the day that we said, all right, we're just going to go have some fun. Like, we're just going to go see what we stumble upon. And that was the day that we met this tribe. They're 2 hours up the Amazon River from Iquitos, Peru. And we walked off the boat. And as we were walking up to them, those little kids, they come out, like these kids right here. That's Angie. And they came out and they were just greeting us, happy to see us. And then as they took us back into their village off the shoreline, we started seeing, you know, all these health problems. You know, the kids have bloated bellies from the amoebas and the bacteria from the water. If you even see some of their hair, it's got like little like yellow blondish streaks in it. That's from malnourish. I think I always mess this word up. Malnutrition. What? How do you say? Someone help me out. Malnourished. And then these two men come up, and then they were each of them separately were blind in one eye. And they say it's very common because from drinking the river water, apparently those amoebas, I think they're amoebas or the parasites, they get into their eyeballs and it'll make them blind either in both eyes or just one. And so we're there, and this was like the fun day. So we weren't prayed up, like fasting for this day. Like we just showed up, like we're going to have some fun. And all of a sudden, God put us in a position where it was like, he's going to use us right now. And so we just said, okay, Lord, here we go. And we started praying, and that was the door. These people don't know anything about God, Christ, anything. And so even if you look, Micah has her hands, and she's laying hands on these kids, and they're like, what is this crazy white woman doing? And so anyways, we laid hand on the blind eyes. We prayed, and then all of a sudden they could see. That right there was enough to get the party going. So one guy goes, oh, you know, I can see. And we're like testing it, like close that eye. How many? Dos, uno. Okay. Oh my gosh. Awesome. And then the next guy, he's like, I want some. Then we pray for him and he gets healing. And then this guy comes up and he's deaf and they're like, pray for him. And then we pray for him. And it was complete open heaven. And that was confirming to us saying, this is where we're supposed to be. And so from that moment on, we started working with this tribe. Tribal ministry is a process because what you're going up against is trust. They've seen why this 2022, they live along the Amazon River. There's freighter boats from the ocean that go through that river. They know, you know, white people, they've seen it. And so these people are, you know, we're up against the battle of they've seen white people, but they've only seen, not only white people, they've seen you know, people from another country, okay? But we're up against the fact that they don't trust us because they've had encounters, and what happens is they'll go in, you know, these other people, they'll go in, and then they'll say, we're here to help, you know, we got a bunch of food, you know, let your kids come with us, and they'll help us get all the food together, and we'll come back. But they don't come back with the kids. The kids, unfortunately, are sold into sex trafficking or used by cartels. It's traumatic and it's terrible. So that was something that we initially saw as this is going to be a mountain that we got to climb over. And so it took about 3 years, 3 years just to get to the point where they believed that we were there to help and we were who we said we were. And so we've just made phenomenal strides with them. The Amazon rainforest, it is believed that is one of the last unreached areas in the world as far as completely uncontacted. And the reason being is because it's one of the harshest environments that you could imagine. The river rises and drops 40 feet depending on the season. There's bugs, snakes. I mean, it's treacherous terrain. Any of you hunters, I told Pastor, I told him, hey, you know, I know he's a hunter and all that. And I said, you need to come down and you need some hunting in Peru. Our pastor hunts jaguar. And I said, you need to get with that guy, get with our pastor and go hunt some jaguar. I'm going to stay at base camp, but you guys can go. So you can go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is actually a pretty phenomenal number. 97% are accepting the gospel right now. Wherever we go. And a lot of people are like, 97, really? And this is where I say, if you don't believe it, you're just going to have to come to Peru and see for yourself. You're invited. But 97%, we are literally, it's too easy at this point where it's like, Lord, oh my gosh. So we're walking into places and they hear the missionaries are coming and all of a sudden they're showing up. They don't know what baptism is, but they know that in order to follow Jesus, you know, this tribe that we are working with, they went underwater, got baptized, and then that means they're a Christian. And so they're showing up like, I want baptism. So we pray for them. They received Christ. And our motto is, as soon as you accept Christ, you're going in the water because it's straight, bam, bam, immediate. And then we start the teaching. So if you see here, like, that's the bottom right picture. That's one of the Antioch teams, one of the missions with the Antioch Center. They're baptizing in that murky Amazon River. They call it Cafe con Leche. because it looks like coffee with milk. And then here's Lainey and Micah down here during the baptisms with a bunch of other naked babies running around. And then this, actually, this picture in the top left, that was Micah, and she was leading the first ever married, two married couples, like ever. Like they've never, no marriages have ever happened. There's never been a marriage. They never knew the concept of marriage. And when we actually showed up to the tribe, they were sharing. Sometimes they would share their wives. There was really no grid. And we were like, Lord, we got to take control of this. Like, how are we going to manage this? And so one day the Lord just dropped in Micah's heart that she was supposed to preach on the bride of Christ. And through preaching on the bride of Christ, they got the revelation. And they're like, can we have that with each other? And we're like, yeah, you can. And so we actually spoke about 8 hours in depth about what marriage is. You're talking about marriage, like these, no grid. So you have to start from ground zero. And we had the first ever marriage in their tribe, something very, very special. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So right now, as I've said, you know, when we were with this tribe, God actually told us, we were first initially like, we're going to go to Peru, we're going to reach the whole nation, and yeah, it's going to be awesome, thousands, millions. And God, you know, he kind of put the brakes on us again, like he did with the high school ministry, and he said, nope, you're going to go to this tribe and this tribe only, and you're going to pour everything that you have into them. And I'm thinking, oh man, we can get it, Lord, but we're going to trust you. And so what we did was we just worked with that tribe for 3 years. Through working with them, they're now being built up, and there, without even pressuring them, encouraging them, not even explaining to them about evangelism, they're actually evangelizing the tribes around them and going out and preaching the word. And now what we have is kind of a domino effect to where doors are opening for us. If you go to the next, we'll just kind of, so these are the doors that are opening. We have 5 tribes that we're going to try and go to in 2023 that have recently been completely closed off to missionaries and the gospel. The reason that we have this unprecedented access with them is because our pastor is a tribal member himself and now has opened these doors. So he's kind of gone before us and said, you need to have these missionaries. This is the God that they serve, yada, yada. And now it's like they're opening their home to us, because we have a national who's going before us. And so we're just seeing the power, and okay, God, we see it now. Pouring everything that we had to get this one pastor, this one, you know, village to trust us completely. Now they're going out and spreading the word. Now they're able to, you know, vouch for us and pledge for us, basically. And so now we have these doors that are opening, and it's just amazing. We're excited about that. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So I'm going to read this verse. This is Philippians 4, 15 through 19. Moreover, as you Philippians know, and this is Paul's writing, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from, oh my gosh, the gifts you have sent. They are a fragment offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. So that was Paul's. I feel like this is also like the missionary when we're like, you know, you go to the next slide. Bam, there's the ask, okay? So that is like, it's so true. Like Paul's writing, it really is like a missionary anthem almost, because it's, you know, we're inviting you to be a part of something, and this is something at the very ground level. And I think of like, you know, Paul, when he was going, it's really, you know, what we're trying to race through, it's at the very ground level to where you guys have an opportunity to invest in not only us, but the work in Peru. It's a very new start. It's a very fresh new thing. And also, I don't want anybody to feel obligated to give. You know, I don't want anybody to feel the pressure to give, but I also know that we have to be able to send. That is one thing that we have to do, that we have to be able to answer the call like that church did when Paul was writing to them and said, when no one else did, you guys did. You guys, you know, you guys gave to me. Yeah, I was amply supplied, but you guys gave. And I feel like it's so important to give you guys the opportunity, because missions, ministries, things like that, and I'm talking beside myself here, it's something that we cannot pawn off if we want to further the kingdom. We can't pass up an opportunity to say, well, the next church will give. If God is speaking to your heart to give, even if it's not to me, if God is speaking to your heart to give in any area, I encourage you, take the step of faith and do it, okay? So with that being said, 100% of all these donations are going directly towards the Peru mission. None of this is going to us personally. We are trying to get each church that we're going to, if the members within that church can come up with $300 a month for a one-year commitment, we believe that it's going to completely, fundamentally change the course of this next year. We have over 1,200 people within these five tribes that we're trying to reach with the gospel. And I think that if we could have these churches, like you guys, commit to $300 a month for at least 1 year, and I almost guarantee you'll want to stay a little longer after that, then we're going to be able to provide staff, outreaches. This goes for food, medicine, clean water, and sending new missionaries. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So this is also a one-time donation deal. We're trying to build a missions base. Right now, I say investing in the future, because there is currently nothing for any missionaries there, like us included, to where every time we are going, we are going to have to spend money on hotels, or we're staying in the jungle. Long term, we need something in order to plant our feet and, have something to where we can go a lot more consistently and not cut into the budget. So we've averaged, if we can raise $70,000, this will build not only a compound, basically it's a home. It's going to be training center, because we are raising up new pastors, and we want to have somewhere where we can build a dormitory type ordeal, where we can put them in bunk beds, and then we could have a classroom setting, and that way we can bring them in from the jungle, and then we can train them all at certain periods throughout the year. So about $70,000, and that's also including the purchase of land. Now, as we are the beginning process of this, it's thinking long term, to where we don't want to pass away, something happened to us, and then there not be something there for the next generation that comes after us to have and to take over and to run. So we have to make sure that we have something set up so it's just easier for the next generation when we pass the torch. Amen. Okay, last slide, I believe. Is it? There it is. Okay, so this is part right here where you guys can join the team. There's a little scan me. I think, I don't know if COVID hit you guys as hard as it did for us in California, but the little scan bar, you take your iPhone out. We'll just leave this up during Micah's preaching. And then you could just hold it up, scan it. It'll take you straight to the giving site. You could also write a check to the church with a designation of Taylor and Micah Yersic or Peru Missions, and they'll get it to us, or straight to our website. And you could check out more of our videos, stuff like that, at magentaministries.org. I'm going to go ahead and invite my wife up. I think she's back there with the baby. She could take the long walk. So yeah, well, I guess while I wait, if there's any question that anybody has burning in them inside of them right now, I would love for you to ask if you have a question, since we have the time. Anybody? Oh, hey, what's up, girl? How are you? It's my little wild one right there, I'll tell you. If you've taken us out to dinner or had lunch with us, you know we got our hands full. Ah. Here you go. Swap me.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, guys. Let's give him a hand clap. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And so we love you guys. I want to feed you guys too, okay? We don't want to just talk. We don't want to be those kind of people that we just talk about ourselves.
Sorry.
You're good. So I also always want to minister the word of the Lord. Amen. Would you guys turn with me to Psalms? 33, verse 20. While you're turning there, I'll just exhort you guys a little bit because we get to go to a lot of churches, okay? And I'd like to tell you guys how cool you are, because I don't know if you guys get to go to as many churches and see how different what you have is, but you guys got something really cool going on. And I think that the Life Center is just the most perfect name for who you guys are, because it just really is. It is a life center for the community. And even as I pray for Peru, in my heart, I just have a vision for a life center in the jungle. Amen? That it's not about one person. It's not about, you know, like Taylor was saying, that it's not about those one missionaries, those one, you know, spiritual, you know, elite people. It's that we are a family in Christ. Amen. And you guys have really emanated that. And you know what? You guys are hungry for God. I'm like shocked. Whenever I come to a big church, you know, like this, and I'm amazed at your guys. I love the American church, but you know, sometimes the lukewarmness can be like, whenever you're a missionary and you go to those, you know, those dark places and stuff, and you guys are just such a fresh, what's that called? Breath of fresh air. Amen. And so I'm going to read Psalms 33, verse 20. And you guys will like this because, like I said, you're hungry ones. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. You guys can turn there if you want to. I'm going to read a bunch of verses right now. But this is what was really highlighted to me with Psalms 33. I'm going to continue to read about this theme, you guys. So Psalms 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalms 37:7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Psalms 130, I wait for the Lord. Somebody say wait. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman wait for the morning. More than a watchman wait for the morning. Isaiah 40, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm 52, verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Can I talk to you a little bit about waiting on the Lord this morning? Who knows that waiting can be a little uncomfortable sometimes? Who knows that one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering? Sometimes you want to skip over that part, right? The patient endurance verses. Who knows that waiting can be awkward? Who knows that silence can be awkward, right? If we would learn to wait on Jesus, if we would just wait until, right? That's what Jesus told his disciples. Don't even leave Jerusalem. Don't even do that great commission that Taylor was talking about. Wait until you are clothed with power. Whenever we first answered the call to missions and we did what Taylor talked about, we laid our lives down to Jesus. Who knows that God always likes to take it a little further. He likes to take it a step further. He wants all of us. He is jealous for our lives. He's jealous for our yes. And he began to require of me more than just a laid down life. What? I gave you everything. And now I'm learning that even as a laid down missionary on the field, that God requires of me another layer, another level of obedience if I would want that much of his presence. And that is a life that waits for him. Did you guys know that whenever we prayed for those blind eyes to be healed, there was some waiting involved? I think that sometimes we think kind of like maybe like Saul thought. We kind of think about doing awesome things for God and being totally sold out as this running, going so fast for the Lord. And did you know that running our race, that a lot of times it can look like waiting? That running well can look like those who wait until? Whenever we prayed for those blind eyes to be healed, did you know that it's a real thing? It's not just like boom, 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 there's music and we have a band going and there's some cool, you know, air conditioning going. It's like kind of uncomfortable and kind of awkward, and there's nothing else to depend on other than if he shows up. Do you know why waiting is so risky? Because we can't fake it if he doesn't show up. It's like either he does or he doesn't. I want to talk about waiting on the Lord because really what the Lord has been speaking to me about lately is our divine position in him. I think that we get so caught up in the promises of God, and this has really been a word of the Lord for me for this season. It's that His greatest desire for us is really over our own position. His word will not return void. His promises are yes and amen. So we just need to be able to learn to stay in position. But you know, the difference between a David and a Saul is that David understood that sometimes divine positioning means waiting on the Lord until he shows up. We need some Moseses that are willing to wait on the Lord all the way until the army is coming and the Red Sea is right in front of you and we're just, God, you have to show up. There's no other option. I think it would be so good for us to learn to wait on the Lord, you guys, because then maybe we wouldn't be put in so many stressful situations because he's going to force us to wait. What if we learn to wait beforehand? Amen? We actually did a devotional with our tribal pastor this past week. And he is growing in the Lord. Your guys is giving. I'm telling you, it is so exciting what God has done these past 2 years. He knows the word of God. He is just growing in a relationship with Jesus and intimacy. And it's so cool because it's not just about us. It's really like him and God. They have their own special thing. And this past week, we're finally able to move on into talking about the gifts and the Holy Spirit and talking about the book of Acts. And we've kind of talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, but it was just kind of like, it just wasn't time yet. So that foundation's been laid, and we talked about waiting on the Lord, okay? We talked about what I'm talking about right now. And I told him that his homework for the week was for 20 minutes, long time, wait on the Lord every day. Wait until he shows up. And whenever he shows up, you just entertain his presence. And I said, it's going to feel awkward. It might be hard. It's something that we're going to practice. And so he did that, and he reported back to me about yesterday or the day before in our meeting, in our discipleship meeting. And he told me about how his homework went that week. He said, well, and you guys remember, this is a man that has been, you know, born in the jungle, lived in the jungle, has had no grid, no power of suggestion for how the Holy Spirit should move, has, you know, no power of suggestion, okay? So he tells me that, hermana, the first two times it was really, like, hard. And it was just like I felt nothing, and it was just really hard, but I did it. And then that third time, he said that as he was waiting, he felt power enter into him. And that he began to shake. And that he began to feel like, oh my gosh, what is happening to me? And then he just tried to remember what we talked about, the Holy Spirit. And he just said, this is the Holy Spirit. And then he says it said that it happened again the next day. And then he talked about that the next time that he waited on the Lord, that he just began to cry in his presence. And that his wife came into the hut, and that his wife said, why are you crying? What's wrong? And he just couldn't explain these tears from the Holy Spirit. Isn't that so lovely? That's the power of waiting on Jesus. He is so real. He is so real. I think that we're afraid to wait on him because wait for what we are expecting. You know, waiting will make us to get all the way to the very end of ourselves. It'll make us to be totally pure in heart because we have to wait past all of our flesh, past all of our desires, past all of our religion, until it's just him. And the Bible says that the pure in heart, they will what? See God. So we need to wait until. Amen? Amen? Another story I want to share is that the first time that we went to the tribe, and Taylor told a part of that story, is how we were just divinely positioning ourselves. And after we showed up and God showed out, the chief sister comes to me and she tells me, hermana, I want to tell you a dream that I had. And remember, they don't know anything about the Bible. They just heard about Jesus for the very first time. They had just accepted Jesus, had just given their lives to him. Before we came, God gave her this dream. She said that in the dream that she was with, you know, this man that was in this beautiful place, and that in this place there was streets of, and that this man takes her to this room, and that in the room there is a table, and on that table there is a big book. And in the book, he shows her where her name is written. Yeah. Those who wait on the Lord. You know, those are the kind of things that I like to call a divine setup. I love that story because you know what? That is just 100% God's sovereign timing, his sovereign positioning. You know, there's something about waiting on the Lord that makes his promises, that makes what he's weaving together and the purpose of your life so precious, so ripe, so beautiful. And I want to encourage us this morning that if we would not grow weary, if we wouldn't get out of position, that you will reap if you do not give up. But I'm almost done, you guys. I just want to minister really quick out of one verse in Daniel chapter 6. And you guys, if you want to read this later on, this is where King Darius comes and Daniel is at the top three of all of the kingdom and Israel is in exile. And God has given Daniel amazing favor. And there's these little snakes in the grass, friends, that try to turn the king against him. And so it is successful. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. No, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. And do you know what happens, you guys? The very worst thing happens. I think that sometimes we're so afraid to stay in position because we're afraid of the worst thing happening. We're afraid of that intimidation that the enemy is putting in front of us. And who knows what happens to Daniel whenever he gets put in the lion's den? That the angel of the Lord was there with him in the lion's den. And I just have a really simple message to give us this morning. And it's that even if we were called to the lion's den, that's where our anointing is. That's where our grace is. That's where our power is. That's where the angel of the Lord is. You know, we could have missed Peru. We could have missed our divine positioning moment. We could have missed the tribe if we would have listened to the voice of fear. If we could have listened to those haters that Taylor was talking about. The devil wants us to submit to intimidation right outside of our promised land. The Holy Spirit right now is bringing right now into revelation and sorry, remembrance right now, the different things that the enemy is trying to use. He's revealing the schemes of the enemy. And so my very last scripture is John 15:4. It's really simple. Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. Remain. This is what remaining looks like in Jesus. Sometimes it looks like, okay, imagine that Jesus is right next to me. We're running so fast. I'm trying to keep up with him. Sometimes it looks like that. You're not moving? Okay, I'm not moving. Sometimes it looks like we're still not moving. Are you sure? Okay, we're still not moving. This is what abiding and remaining looks like. And this is the way to actually live a supernatural life. It's like Taylor said, it really is simple obedience. It really is. He is jealous for a people. I really think that he's looking to and fro in all the world for a people that would just trust him enough to wait on him. To wait until, to not just do, to not just be satisfied with religious activity. You guys, I told you already, I can sense and I can feel a supernatural hunger that you guys have for the Lord. And can I just right now just kind of be like that kind of soldier that Taylor was talking about? I just want to gather the hunger that's the gift of God that he's given you. And I want to tell you guys, channel that hunger in the secret place because it's so powerful and God will divinely order your steps because it's a narrow road, amen? It's a narrow road that we're walking on and we can't afford to follow Jesus like my toddler follows me. That would be kind of distracting. I think it would be a little bit dangerous. We have to be in step with him. We have to have our prize to be his eyes and not whatever we got our focus on. We got to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter. We got to put on those Holy Spirit blinders so that we're not looking to the right or to the left. There is a every single person here, you are not an accident. There is a divine purpose for your life. There is a divine purpose in your positioning. If we would just get in position with Jesus, it's not this arrival, it's not this climbing, it's positioning. If we would just really, really submit all the way and get into that deep inside of us, not just on the outward, on the inside of the cup, amen? Whenever the inside of the cup is clean, the outside is as well, Jesus says. If we would just get really, really serious about our position, more than any of our goals, more than any of our wants, our position. He's a really good leader. He's a really, really, really good leader. And he would divinely order every step that you take. And before you know it, all those wants, all those desires, all of the striving to be good and to be used by him more, it would just begin to flow from abiding. Would you guys just close your eyes with me? Jesus, we wait on you, Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. You are our help and you are our shield. Our soul waits for the Lord. Would you guys say that? Our soul waits for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. Jesus, my soul waits for you. Lord, I pant for you, Jesus. I give you all of my life. I give you all of my positioning, Jesus. We say yes to the sword of your spirit. Hallelujah. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that right now, that you would just, right now, we just are doing Hebrews 4:11. We're just striving to enter into your rest. We lay down all other striving, all other things that we're trying to walk and do on our own. And right now, we just leave it all at the side and we just strive to enter your rest. And we receive, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I bless this church. I bless the hunger of this people. I pray that you would bless our relationship and that you would just bless all the works of their hands. Shine on them, God. Bless them in the secret place. The Lord who sees in secret. The Lord who sees in secret. The Lord who sees in secret. I just pray that every person that right now that you would just anoint their secret place. I just see a vision right now of you guys even just running from this place and just running to a secret place. I just see a vision of that right now. I just see us running from this place to the secret place, to the secret place, to the secret place. Hallelujah. And that he's giving us his hidden manna. There's hidden manna. Where is it? The secret place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's saying, come, come, come. Come, come, come. All who are weary, those who wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who are heavy laden. Come, come, come. Do you hear him? Yeah. We hear your still small voice, Lord, and we say yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to have our prayer team come forward. And if you heard something, you know, from God today that you want to just take a little bit more time with, I'm just going to ask you guys come forward and get some prayer this morning. Maybe you want to pray about missions or something in your life that, you know, whatever it is, something you heard this morning, take the time to wait, listen, get some prayer this morning. Your six are going to be around. Make sure you guys talked with them, but you're free to go. I just think we're going to do a song while we do this. So you're welcome to stay, for the song if you want and get some prayer. But you're welcome to go as well. Just have a blessed day. All right. If you guys want to stand, we're going to start with some praise and worship this morning. All right.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Still I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to the old glorious day. You called my mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness to your glorious day, you called my name.
Amen. Amen this morning.
Your love is like a radiant diamond bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be more. Like a radiant diamond bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely confine us like blazing wildfires, singing your name.
God of mercy,
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, and I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be more. Of the mountain, is the God of the valley. If there's not a place, your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Oh, nothing is better than you.
There's nothing.
With no hesitation, without reservation, and God, if I burn, I'll burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. Gonna burn for you. Each
that I'm breathing, each moment I'm giving. And God, if I live, I live for you. Oh, and I love your presence, and you're my obsession. And God, if I live, I live for you. Oh, and God, if I live, I live for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire, and I'm gonna burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Fresh fire, I want what you desire, and I'm gonna burn for you. Gonna burn for you.
So light a match.
You desire, and I'm gonna burn.
all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song lost in you never did. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
death for our hearts, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
We just offer up our worship this morning, Father. Let it be a pleasing sacrifice. God, that we wouldn't be hindered by fear of anything, fear of the people around us, God, fear of just letting you get down deep inside of our hearts, God, that we wouldn't be hindered by that this morning. Give it to you right now. This is your time. It's all your time. And this is your vessel. God, let it be glorifying to you. Let us bless you today with our worship. We ask this in your name.
Altars where you need us, take me there, if you need is just an offering, it's right here, my life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you, purify you, purify. Wanna be tried by fire, purified. We'll take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Oh, I wanna be tried by fire, purified. We'll take whatever you desire. If your glory wants to come here, let it flow. We want it all. Your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be tried by fire, purified, take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Oh, I want to be tried by fire, purified, take whatever you desire. For you, clean my hands,
Sing a little bit more of this song. I hope this is your prayer this morning. When God reveals something in our hearts, we should be doing something about it, not just holding on to it. We just offer that up to you this morning. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this beautiful day, God. God, the heart beating in our chest, the breath in our lungs, God, all to glorify you this morning. God, you are so good. No matter what our eyes see, God, you are so good. No matter what our ears hear, God, you are so good. no matter what our body feels, you will never not be good. Bless you this morning, Father. We love you. We thank you for this time of worship together, God. In your name. You guys may be seated. You may answer your phone. This morning we're going to have our offering, our tithes and offerings, so if our ushers would come forward.